green for go. I'll just pray before we begin. Father God, I just thank you that we're able to come together to read from your word and to hear from you. To ask, Lord, tonight would be a night where your anointing would take place, where your spirit would move, and where people's lives would change. I ask you, Lord God, to help me to deliver your word in a calm and confident way, only in your spirit, Lord. And help us to understand what's being said. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What's a bit of a... I just feel like I want to kill everybody in here tonight, so I'll just let you know that before we begin. That just brought me right down. Okay, as Taddy had outlined, or Dave outlined, that we are in a series of talks on the healing power of Jesus. Oh, I just noticed something. Dave, can you switch that over? This is something that you may well have seen, I don't know how many times, and this is one example, where you get people putting up these images. So here we have an old woman who's about to croak, and a young baby who's come into the world, her grandchild. And it's all about how many likes can I get? What's the number of likes and comments I can achieve from this? And I know many people do it, and you're guilty of it myself, but you put up an image of something and you think, you know, how many likes will I get for this? And this is fantastic. And I started to really consider what it was about. Who was benefit from the image that's going up? Was it the old woman here? Or was it the child? Or was it something wonderful? Or are these images that we put up just to do with us? Trying to make ourselves feel better, trying to become more popular, trying to increase our exposure or self-promotion on certain things. When I looked at this image, I saw death and sickness, and I saw birth. And I suppose everything was in one thing. Now this particular image got 600 or 500,000 likes, and it was crazy. But every time I see this, and this is just one example, but every time I see these images, you sort of have it in your head, should I like it or should I not? And it starts to play on your conscience sometimes, because you think, oh, I've just flicked past that one. And I don't know if you see these ones before where it says, don't scroll any further down until you read this. You get them all the time. I just scroll all down. And then I think to myself, well, is my conscience telling me that I should read this, or should I like it, or should I do something about it, or should I pray when I see it? And I don't know. So I want to look at two things tonight in this series of talk, in this talk particularly. And the other one is about our conscience. Hopefully this will come out during the talk on the leper I'm going to talk about. But our conscience is the part of the mind that makes you aware of your actions as being either morally right or wrong. A feeling that something you have done is morally wrong. We all have a conscience. The Bible warns us not to go against our conscience. And quite often, you will be faced with decisions, and your conscience will tell you to do one thing, and quite often you will do the other. Conscience is a big part of our makeup and who we are. And it aids a lot in our decision making. Quite often when you go against your conscience, you feel terrible. And you know, you wish you hadn't have done it that way. So that said, we're going to turn to our reading tonight, which is in Mark chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading from verse 40 to verse 45. It's the story whenever the leper comes to Jesus. These bifocals, I've been wearing these for 6 months, and they still sometimes take me by surprise and look down too quick. Now a leper came to him, that's Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone and go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out, began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Sort of set the scene in context. a wee bit. We have Jesus who has been on this on the Mount. He's been doing the famous Sermon on the Mount. And he has just finished this series of sort of talks or preaching that he has been doing. And it covers everything. You know, you'll know the Beatitudes and the Blessed's this, the Blessed's that, and love your neighbour and love God with all your heart. And he went through everything and he talked in many, many different points. And one of the ones just that he had talked about prior to coming down the mountain was talking about the law. And he talked about how he had come to fulfil the law, that he had not... that he didn't come to break it, but he came to fulfill it. Because obviously Jesus kind of a lot was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, talking about the law and everything like this. But the interesting point, and there's just a point I want to highlight about this, is whenever Jesus was coming down off the mountain, he was approached by this leper. And the law stated, and the sort of period of time we were in, stated that he was not allowed to go near a leper, or the leper was not allowed to come near him. That was stated. And they had to stay away a certain distance, they had to stay away upwinds, all these kind of things. And here's Jesus coming down, and he is approached by the man with leprosy. So Jesus is being faced with everything that nobody else would go near or touch, and he is facing it head on. Jesus coming down off the mount faces the leper. Now the leper must have heard about Jesus, must have known about Jesus. I mean, Jesus was well known, news was spreading about him. And the leper takes the opportunity to come to Jesus. He knows that no one has been cured of leprosy. He knows that Jesus would be his only hope. He has a disease and an affliction that no one else could help him with. There was no doctor, no medicines, no cure. There was nothing that was going to help this man with the condition that he had. And he must have known that Jesus would have the power to make him whole again, to cleanse him. The disease itself is brutal. And you might be surprised to know that there are still about 100,000 cases of leprosy, or Hansen's disease as it's known now, still existing in the world. And it affects the poorest of the poor. You will find, when you go and research it like I did, that it's the really poor people who have no access to general clean waters or anything like that, and they're the people who contract this horrendous disease. And what it does is it basically eats your flesh, it defigures your face and your body, and, you know, to the point where limbs are lost, facial recognition is gone. Not only destroys the physical body, but it isolates the leper from the community, from his friends, his family, from work, from worshipping, from everything. He is an isolated person. The disease was seen as the physical counterpart to sin. No one had been healed from leprosy, as recorded in the Bible, from Naaman the leper, when Elisha healed him in a miracle. Repulsive visually, it's incurable, it isolates the leper, it's very, very contagious, and it is seen as the physical counterpart to sin, the outward expression of sin. Jesus was confronted by this man, by the outward expression of sin, if you want to call it that, that he had come to conquer. Controversial as this may seem, and as it may sound, sometimes people are sick and face illness that will lead them to death so that they will have an opportunity to come to God and believe in Jesus. That sounds really awful, that somebody might be made sick or might become sick so that they would come to God. But here is an extreme example of somebody who is really sick but is having the opportunity to come to Jesus. Sickness like this often leads a person to the point of despair. What else are they going to do? Where else can they turn? Who else is going to help them? The leper is an extreme example of someone who has nowhere else to turn, and Jesus is his only hope. When he comes to Jesus, and if you read in the Mark, you'll read the first couple of verses, tell you that he comes in a position he humbles himself before Jesus. We're told that he bows before him. He kneels down to him and he is imploring him. He is wanting Jesus to make him better. He wants Jesus to hear what it is that he's saying. He is down on the knee and he is, if you will, in a position of looking up to Jesus and asking Jesus to intervene. The question that he asks Jesus is this: Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. It's really important the way that the leper puts his request across. He isn't saying, Lord, if you're not too busy, you could maybe make me better. Lord, if you're in the right mood, you know, because Jesus has to be in the right mood before he makes us better sometimes. He can't be bothered like me if I'm in the bad mood. He just can't heal you today. I'm not feeling like it. Or if he's not in the right frame of mind, it's not a healing day. I only heal Mondays and Tuesdays. Wednesdays, Thursdays, my day's off. He is asking this: Lord, if you are willing, you can make me whole or well. It has to be in line with the Father's will. It has to be in line with what the Father, with God the Father, wants for him. He's not asking it as if Jesus is just going to do it there and then. It has to be the will of God the Father. He does not doubt Jesus' power. And in fact, he is submitting to Jesus' will at this point, if you're willing. So far, the message for us is this, and it's clear. We need to know God can do whatever he wants and trust in him to do so. He is willing. We must be trusting. We must have faith to believe that God is going to do it. The leper asked the question, if you're willing. Jesus answers, I am willing, be cleansed. The leper, like I said, is humble in his approach, and he makes a humble request. In fact, if you look at it, it's nearly an act of worship, because he's bowing, he's kneeling, he's coming before Jesus as king, and he is pleading a request to him. And Jesus replies, I am willing. Why? Because Jesus is moved with compassion, with love, with mercy. Not only that, but he reaches out and touches the leper, something that he is not allowed to do, ceremonially unclean, against the law. This is something that only Jesus can do. No one else could reach out and touch the leper the way Jesus has done. Why? Because Jesus is sinless. He is pure. He is God in the flesh. And he is able to take something that is unclean, something that is rotting to the core, something that is full of sin, a person full of sin, full of leprosy, and he is able to touch this person because he is pure God. He is clean and he is sinless, and he can make this man whole again. He can cleanse him. In this miracle, Jesus shows that he is God's Son who is able to heal. It's wonderful what Jesus has done. Amazing sort of miracle. And now we have the turn of the leper, if you will. Because the leper at this point has been humble. He's been coming to Jesus. He wants him to make him whole. He wants him to cleanse him. He wants to be made well again. And Jesus says this to him, well, see that you tell no one. And see that you go straight to the priest and offer that which Moses commanded in the law. Simple command that he gives him. The leper, he's cleansed. He hasn't been so free. Things are different. Forget about what Jesus just said. I'm bolting down the street to see my mates. Now, theoretically speaking, first of all, he has to see, no matter what he does, he has to see the priest, because he has to be declared clean before he can enter back into society. But once that bit's over and done with, he's away like the bullet. He's away to tell everybody, I've been healed by Jesus. Look at me, I'm great. I can get my job. I can go back to my friends. I can do whatever I want to do. I am made whole again. And you have to forgive him to a certain degree. He's so excited. Life has been turned around for him. And he is now free to do what he wants. the man who had the humble attitude, first of all, who came to Jesus when he had no hope, when he had nothing else, Jesus cleanses him, and gives him one command. Don't go spreading it. Keep it quiet. He couldn't do it. He couldn't be obedient to the word of God. He couldn't do the one thing that Jesus asked of him. Why? Because he wanted to get as many likes as popular. Could you imagine if it was Facebook and it went out, there'd be millions and millions and millions of likes because Jesus has healed him. The humble leper quickly became, if you will, a Facebook sensation. Told everybody everything. And then we hear that Jesus couldn't go out. He had to go to deserted places because he was being thronged with people. Jesus was, at this stage, out to preach the gospel, out to preach the message of repentance, out to tell who he was. He had all that work to do, and now he had to deal with all these people coming towards him because the leper had been running out telling everybody what Jesus had done. If I'm going to be harsh at this point, I'm going to say that it was an act of disobedience, and it was unacceptable what the leper had done, but he had been healed and he was excited. We've all got the leprosy tonight because we've all been born into sin and we all need to be cleansed. There's no amount of cleaning yourself with soap and water, trying to bleach yourself, trying to scrub off the sin in your life. You cannot do it. There is no potion out there. There is no doctor who will be able to remove surgically any sin that exists in your body, because you cannot see it, you cannot feel it, you cannot touch it. But we all have it. As Taddy said this morning, we're all sinners in a sin-cursed body in a sin-cursed world. There's nothing you and I can do about the sin that we have. Of course, if we're believers, we can repent of our sin, but we still sin day and daily. We cannot remove it. We have a condition and a disease that is like the leprosy that this man had. We have a disease that we cannot heal, that we can do nothing about, but only Jesus can cleanse us from this sin. And we need to come to Jesus in the humble attitude that the leper first came in, asking Jesus, if you're willing, you can cleanse me, you can heal me. Jesus is willing, as has been demonstrated tonight, to make you clean. He is willing to cleanse you and to heal you. And he is willing to cleanse you from your sin. If you're willing to turn around and to repent of the sin that you've done against God. Now, like the leper, who had the humble attitude to begin with, once he's been healed, he was given the instruction to be obedient. We tonight have that. When we become healed, we should be obedient unto God. We should choose to follow Jesus. We should choose to be obedient to him. Tonight we have the ability to do that, to be obedient and to follow. Maybe tonight you come here and you've heard what's been said. Maybe you've got a skin condition like psoriasis, maybe eczema. Maybe you're struggling with an illness that's been really getting you down for so long, and you're coming here tonight, you're hearing about the healing power of Jesus, and you're wanting him to heal you. Even further than that, maybe you've got something on your conscience. Maybe some sin that's been committed against you, or some sin that you have committed that is inside your head and in your conscience. Maybe it's been there for a long time. And you're coming tonight and you want Jesus to heal you from that. You want Jesus to set you free from a particular incident or sin or problem or hurt that you have that nobody else knows about except you and God. Maybe tonight's the night that God is going to decide to deal with that. You know, tonight, Jesus has the ability, the power, and the authority to save and to heal. We have the ability tonight to have faith, to believe, trust, and obey Jesus. We need those two things. We need to be able to have the faith and the trust to believe that God is going to move and to do the work in our lives that we want him to do. We need to be obedient to God's word, obedient to God is more valuable, more important than sacrifice. God demands us to be obedient to Him, to love Him, and to be devoted to Him. So in summarizing this tonight, Jesus is the healer of our body, of our minds, and of our hearts. We've got to pray tonight that whatever disease we have, or sickness, or the hurt that I spoke of tonight, that Jesus is willing to heal us tonight and set us free. Let's pray. Father God, I just ask tonight, Lord, as we prepare to pray to You, to come before You. Lord, You already know all our prayers, our thoughts. You already know everything that we're going to ask of You tonight. But Lord, we ask that You're willing tonight, Lord God, to act and to move. Lord, every one of us tonight will have something to pray about, something we need to be changed, some hurt, some sickness, some disease. We may even know someone that's not here tonight, Lord, that we're going to decide to pray for. I ask You, Lord, to help us to have the faith to believe and to trust in You. And Lord, from this moment onwards, to be obedient to Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.